Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Really excited to welcome our next guest to our program. Karen Koenig is making her first appearance to our show. Karen is not only a psychotherapist and an eating coach, but also the author of the new book released this year, Outsmarting Overeating, Boost Your Life Skills, End Your Food Problems. This is something that Karen has devoted a lot of her life to being able to help people with. We're going to talk to Karen not only about what inspired this particular book, but what has been like for her to get people to look at their lives differently and also look at their approach to food differently as well. If you're just finding out about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Karen, hello to you and welcome to Conversations Live. We're glad you could join us today.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Hey, this is really exciting because, you know, one of the things, and you even talk about this in the book, we all know what it's like to make those New Year's resolutions, to make these commitments that I'm going to lose this amount of weight, I'm going to get to this size, I'm going to do this. And you really help us to appreciate in Oversmarting Overeating that it's not so much about the commitment, but it really is about the decision to live better, to do better, not so much on a particular goal. What has it been like for you, Karen, by this information to not only get them to think about life differently, but also get to think about their approach to food differently?
Well, what happens is people who are what I consider, I call them dysregulated eaters, troubled eaters, they are so focused on the food that they forget that the rest of their life and how they live it impacts their eating.
Right.
So I try to get them to toggle back and forth between behaviors, beliefs about eating, body image, and learning skills for the rest of their lives so they are happier, less stressed, and when they're happier and less stressed, they're not going to turn to food for either comfort or excitement. So it all sort of flows together.
Yeah. You talk about in the book, in one of the sections that really struck me in the chapter about self-regulation, you say this in the book, Karen, and I want to actually read this. It's on page 106 for those who have the print edition. By acquiring both physical and emotional self-regulation skills, you'll learn to do all that and more. In order for this to happen, however, you'll need to deeply connect to your body, and then you explain what that means. I don't mean connect in the way too many dysregulated eaters connect to their body by judging and obsessing about their size or appearance. I mean being aware of your internal shifts in physical sensation and noticing what you feel when your body is in different states. And what I love about this, and I have to say I saw myself at a part of this, Karen, because you give this example of people who are so list-driven, like I'm one of those people, and how we're so busy tick-tocking things off our list and that we're just going to overdrive. And then, you know, even when we're supposed to be, quote-unquote, resting, our mind is still going. And that leads us to, of course, making decisions that we wouldn't normally make. But also people who are not in that situation, how, again, it goes to their particular situation. You know, I think what's so great is that you help us to see it's a person-by-person thing, but you really have to get to know yourself. Do you think that's been your key in this journey, being able to know yourself and to be able to work in that construct instead of just one-size-fits-all mode?
Absolutely. That is where it is at. I was a chronic dieter and binge eater for the first half of my life. I'm 67 now. And I was just very, external, not really looking at myself. Why do I do this? And when in my early 30s, I started reflecting on my eating and learning about connecting to body and mind, I was able to turn around my eating, and I'm a normal eater now. So then I coupled that with learning clinically through a master's in social work about psychology, and I'm able to use both the clinical piece of it and my own.
Right.
But I certainly had my struggles.
And I think that, and I said this in my review on Amazon.com, Karen, I think because you know what it's like, I think it definitely helps you in the compassion area. Because I was reading this book, and one of the things that you say is, you know what, you're going to, I mean, everything's not going to go perfectly. You're not going to always make the best decision. But it's not about beating yourself up. It's about moving forward. And I think that's the great thing about it. And that's why, you know, as you talk about even in the book, you know, how, you know, making those resolutions may not be the way to go. You even help us from chapter to chapter in these get smart moments. And one of my favorite get smart sections is in chapter 2, Karen, where you say this: the chapter is dealing with wellness and physical self-care. The get smart in that is found on page 44, and it's, what's your current motivation to learn skills for wellness and physical self-care? What do you tell yourself that moves you forward? What do you say that prevents you from moving forward? And the reason I picked up on this is because you really help us to self-examine and make sure we're doing this for ourselves and not for someone else. How important has that been for you, and how important is it for our listeners?
Well, what we say to ourselves is what our brain hears. You know, if we say, you're a jerk, our brain says, okay, I'll act like a jerk. Thank you. And if we say, you're doing the best you can, the brain calms down and says, okay, I'll just do the best I can. So self-talk is enormously important. And the problem is most people don't hear it. And they are sort of shocked when they hear the way they talk to themselves. And, you know, almost to a person, all the trouble eaters I work with are just, they're just so lovely to other people. They're kind and considerate and caring, and then, boy, are they hard on themselves. And in fact, that can be one of the characteristics, you know, being very hard on yourself, being a perfectionist. So the two things that I think are most important to change, and after all, that is the purpose of, you know, the whole exercise, is to be curious and compassionate. And they both involve not judging yourself. Reflection is not judgment. To understand yourself, why am I doing this, is vital, but then not to condemn yourself, to just be compassionate. And just those things, curiosity and compassion, can make amazing shifts in people psychologically.
Exactly. And you know, and I have to say, Karen, when I was reading this book, and, you know, this is one of those areas that I know a lot of us can deal with. For those joining us on the radio dial, Karen, this is on the radio here in Mississippi where I live. And you know, we all know what it's like to have so much attention on weight, on size, and, you know, and how people see us. And it's universal, but I think especially in the South where we're seen to have the worst numbers of everything, including obesity, you know, it's one of those things that we think about. But you say this also in goals, and this is another great thing that Karen, I think, understands because of her own life. In setting and reaching goals, on page 151, you say this: you're solely focused on behavior and diving in. Fears and conflicting emotions be damned. In the second, you're getting more, your feet wet and choosing activities that will actually speed your recovery and have a huge payoff down the road. Baby steps involve thinking differently about eating fitness, not simply acting different. And I want to talk about that. The key I wanted to focus on there is baby steps, because we're very impatient in this country and sometimes around the world, and we want things to happen right away. How important is it for us, Karen, to celebrate the small things along this journey?
It's absolutely essential. People who are successful understand that, you know, perhaps intuitively, but also perhaps by learning that focusing on large goals doesn't help as much as looking at the small achievements you've made. Of course, you know, you want to keep your goal in the forefront. And the fact is we all take baby steps. That's how we succeed. But we see the end product in other people, and
right,
we just say, oh, I want to be like them. You know, we're still looking for what psychologists call magical thinking. Can it happen yesterday? Can it happen if I put in no effort whatsoever? And in fact, it is not likely to. So I tell people everybody is taking baby steps, and the only way you can fail to reach a goal is if you stop moving, If you start at one end of the room, I don't care how tiny your steps are, if you continue, you will get to the other side of the room. And in fact, when I meet with clients, I often ask them to do that, just to prove that baby steps will take you where you want to go as easily as giant strides.
Yeah, I think that is the thing. And I think that is, again, one of those amazing things about this experience, Karen, that you're able to outline. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Karen R. Koenig is our guest today. She's the author of the book, Outsmarting Overeating, Boost Your Life Skills in Your Food Problems. And again, it all goes with making those baby steps and being able to make the decisions, you know, that are going to help us long term. So, Karen, I want to step away from the book for a moment. Just talk about the work that you're able to do and the satisfaction. How does it make you feel to see how information that you've shared in your books, information that you've shared with your clients, has helped them in changing the way they see themselves?
Oh, it's just wonderful. I'm very, very fortunate that I love the two things that I do. Well, three things. I love teaching, I love doing therapy and coaching, and I love writing. So they are all towards the same end, to give people the happiness, joy, and more than anything, pride that I achieved in overcoming my eating problems. There's just nothing better. It's been my life mission for over 30 years, and this is my sixth book. And, you know, I write about the things that my clients are having trouble with,
right,
and that I had trouble with, and I'm grateful that I'm able to help them. And there has been an entire what they call an intuitive eating movement around since the late 70s, early 80s. We just don't have the billions of dollars that the diet industry has to promote ourselves, but it's here, it's in Europe, it's all over. So if people want to move in that direction, they can find therapists, authors, teachers who teach that kind of approach.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think, you know, we are all grateful for the work that you're doing, Karen, because it does help us, I think, to realize, for one, that we're not by ourselves, but though, two, that it is possible that just because you've hit a setback, not to look at it as a failure and not to look at yourself as a failure. I mean, isn't that a great deal of it, as to what you were saying earlier? I love the way you put that about the brain, about what we tell ourselves, you know, is what we hear, what we believe. Do you think that's been one of the great things that you have been able to do, is to show people not to allow the setbacks to stop them?
Well, absolutely. I was talking with a client yesterday about this, the word relapse or setback. They're learning opportunities. If you knew a better way to do it, you would have done it the better way. So when things don't go your way and you don't do what you wish you had done, thinking of it neutrally as a learning experience, then you can say, okay, how will I do it next time? I don't even use any of the negative pejorative words,
mm-hmm,
because then people feel bad about them and they focus on them. And the other key to success is focusing on what you've achieved, not what you haven't achieved. Just let the rest, you know, let that latter stuff just drop away and build pride, because a lot of these eating behaviors are shame-based behaviors. And what you want to do is feel proud of yourself, not to get other people to be proud of you, but for you to feel pride, and then pride moves you forward in itself, no matter what learning opportunities you've had along the way.
Exactly. So true. Again, everyone, Karen R. Koenig is our guest today. We're talking about her book, Outsmarting Overeating, Boost Your Life Skills in Your Food Problems. What you just said, Karen, reminded me of another thing, because there is work involved, and you know, that is something that all of us have to realize. What I love that you do, as someone who also loves to read, I love to write too, and you encourage us to document these things, to write, to ask ourselves the questions, to document the answers. Is that part of the accountability process along the way?
I think of it as a way to explore. Not everyone enjoys writing. Several of my books, I even have a Food and Feelings workbook, involve a lot of do this exercise, write this down. Some people like to do that. Some people don't. I think more than accountability is people loving and valuing themselves. Because you're not going to be accountable to something you don't really care about. And if you don't care about yourself, you know, you're going to say just the heck with it. So to me, the foundation of all this work is learning to love yourself, value, find your worth, feel deserving. And then everything changes. I mean, if you love your car, you take good care of it, or your kids or your pet. It's instinctive and it's natural and it's automatic. So then it's not such hard work to make yourself accountable. You do it because you want to take care of this wondrous, unique thing, yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. What a great point. And that is what all of us can do. And, you know, there is something else I have to say, that, and I love reading books, Karen, that make me challenge myself, that make me learn something and maybe even reevaluate something. You kind of take on the whole aspect of being able to balance work and play. You devoted a whole chapter to it, chapter 9 of the book. You know, and again, going to how we sometimes spend our lives in front of the, you know, or by the clock, you know, and I mentioned that earlier. Why is it important to take out that time and to give yourself that break and not feel as though you have to go, go, go 24 hours?
Well, there's nothing in life that does not involve balancing two extremes or two sets of different. So just in terms of how life works, balance is important. Too often troubled eaters won't give themselves a break except through eating. Yeah, and they'll do it even though they're not hungry. The other problem is with work and play, so often people are really never fully emotionally engaged. When they're at work, they're resentful. I hate doing this. I want to do what I want to do. And so they're not really engaged in it. Or when they're relaxing and not working or doing play, which is not goal-oriented, but just for feeling pleasure. So when they're relaxing, they're feeling guilty, and they don't even enjoy that.
Right.
So when you realize one is neither better than the other, they both have their value. And if you give both of them their value, then you can engage with both of them, and they do balance out.
I think that is it. Again, appreciating the importance of it, and I think that's the thing too. And I believe too, Karen, one of the things that we'll get is not being afraid to reward yourself as well. You know, and not, you know, with that, because part of what is about life is, and you even mentioned this in the book. You know, if you could pay someone to do things for you, I mean, you would do it and you would enjoy yourself. And I think that is the thing, to be able to take out that time, you know, to enjoy your life. And one of the ways you can do that is to be, you know, more, I think, accountable about the way that you live your life, and accountable as to how you're looking at food. And that's why a book like Outsmarting Overeating comes into play. Again, everyone, I've been speaking today with Karen R. Koenig. She's not only a psychotherapist, but the author of this book and others that have really helped you to be the best of yourself each and every day. This book is all about boosting your life skills and helping you to end your food problems. Karen, I mentioned earlier, I wrote my review on Amazon.com, so the book is available there. How can our listeners stay connected with you and find out what's coming up next for you?
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.karenrkoenig.com, and Koenig is K-O-E-N-I-G. I run a Yahoo Food and Feelings message board, so they can join that. And I blog twice a week, so they can go to my links page and get to my blog page and sign up for my blogs. They can look at my videos, and if they're in Florida, they can contact me about eating coaching, because I'm licensed to work in Florida. And just really pay attention to changing all of their life, and then their eating will change along with it.
There you go. And you're hearing it from someone who definitely knows firsthand. Karen, great conversation with you today. Thank you so much for the time today. And it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're more than welcome. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another edition of Conversations Live. If you guys came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the replay right as we go off the air. Karen is all over the place. She's on social media. We'll tag her with the link on her social media pages on Facebook and Twitter. So we definitely invite you guys to go over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.